Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us tonight for another night, Friday night. Friday night, that's awesome. Right here with the community of faith, where we're speaking the word of faith, walking into righteousness of faith, and living the life of faith. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We're going to be studying spiritual authority again, and we're going to be studying with Brother Andrew Walbeck. Thank God he put a bunch of these out in a radio form like this, and what a blessing it is to be able to connect up to it and get to and understand this level of you know, we've had some great testimonies already that come in because of this set of teachings, and I know that it's given every one of us the ability and the courage to step up and be bold in God, and I think it's you two with us.
I'm trying to see.
All right.
I lost the screen.
I think one of the most important things I have heard and learned set of teachings, everybody's going to get something. But the one that I think the statement so far that stuck out the most is yesterday morning we were studying with John Osteen about spiritual authority. And he made a statement that as soon as you're born again, you are as righteous as God. Now, that's been all of my denominational and theological understanding of life, because there is nothing we can do to become more righteous, because God makes us as righteous.
Amen.
Now that we have the righteousness, now the teacher is, Lord, help me as I consecrate my life to the level of righteousness where you've exalted me to. And that's the work that you and I do, consecrate ourselves to that righteousness. And, you know, Dr. Winston has said for years, most people don't need more faith. They need a greater revelation of righteousness. Because if we'll understand that God is righteous, we won't have any hesitation to speak boldly in the name of God Almighty, because he lives on the inside of us. YouTube with us now, are they?
YouTube is with us, yes.
Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us. We're going to get right to the Word of God with Andrew Walbeck. We'll break here in about another 23 minutes, so make sure you take some good notes. And honestly, take some notes. Write some scripture references down. Get some of the statements that these great men of God are making and get them recorded so that we can go back and look at them and meditate on them.
We open up our hearts, our minds, our understanding.
We know you are speaking to us through your word, and we receive it tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen and amen.
And amen.
And here we go. Brother Andrew's all turned, tuned up and ready.
Sure. Here we go.
Amen. Oh my.
We got a new term, religious tag. How you doing tonight? All right. Right here, right now.
We will be glad to join you in a few minutes. We're not waiting till tomorrow.
We're not waiting till tomorrow, all right. Well, I didn't know whether that was going to be what you'd say, so I was all ready to say, hey, we're not waiting.
Anybody have a word about this word? All right.
Thank God there's a man of God that's not afraid to step up and say something.
Amen. Amen.
Whether or not people are offended at him.
Okay. Yeah, whether or not people are offended with him, yeah, he just has this profound understanding that's amazing. Thank you for speaking it.
And if you follow Andrew Womack very much, you realize all of his life, he has just been extremely bold. Somewhere God gave him the ability to just be bold with people and say, this is what your problem is, and you're the one that's causing all the mess.
Yeah.
And then if people get offended, they get offended. Because what are we going to do? Tell somebody something that's not true and then smile real big while we watch them crash and burn? That's not God.
That is not God.
That is not God in any sense of any word. That's why you guys are going to always hear me just speak the truth, because you don't love somebody if you don't tell them the truth.
Amen.
How can you say you love somebody if you know the truth and you don't say it to them? You can't say you love them. Perfect love is going to cast out all fear.
Amen.
And, you know, it's like that. Who was it? Brother Hagen, Brother Osteen, Dr. Barclay, somebody tells a story about a lady saying, please pray for my husband. You know, same story. And I think it was Brother Hagen said, the problem, ma'am, is you. No, it was Jesse. Remember the story of the bad gumbo?
Oh, yes.
And every one of those preachers had lied and said, this is wonderful. And she was trying to get her husband saved, and Jesse said, this is trash. And he threw his spoon down and said, now I know you're a man of God. And he was saved within a week.
It's amazing.
But you got to be willing to tell the truth when the truth looks like it's going to get you in a situation. Anyways, let's go. Time to go. We got to get Brother Andrew going. We'll do some more talking in a minute.
All right. And there's that. Anybody have anything they want to add to that? Or just go right into the next one.
Well, I want to say this. Okay. Think about that fact of the police officer. If you don't know that police officer has authority and you drive over him, you will spend time in prison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then be executed.
Well, and yeah, that's where that goes. And when you and I see that, the big word it keeps coming to me, when you extrapolate that truth from that, and we look at that and say, wait, now, how does that speak to us? That man has authority. Because he understands his authority. So when you understand your authority, you can do all kinds of things. Now, I'm going to give you a personal story about this from my own life, and I don't have everything pulled up yet here at the house so I can see you guys' comments, but I will here in just a minute. But when I was the state captain for the Patriot Guard Riders, we had to move traffic a lot, and we had to help the police officers, and of course, you know, we weren't deputies or nothing, but we learned there was a certain level of authority you could function in and tell people what to do. And if you speak in a level of authority, they'll listen to you. And over and over, we would walk out in the middle of the road, and I don't know if it was our biker attire or what it was, hold your hand up, and they would stop. But it's because you were standing in an authority, and you understood in that authority, in this situation, if I do that, this is going to work. And that is, when you break this teaching down, like we would say out in the country in Michigan, when you shuck it right down to the cob, this whole teaching is, do you understand who you are and what is your rights? Because as soon as you do, there ain't nothing going to stop us from getting all of the work of God done, because there's no enemy that can stop us.
Amen. Amen.
There's no enemy that can stop us. None. And it doesn't matter how big they think is, how much noise they make, and the enemy makes a lot of noise so that we'll get afraid. But that's all it is. It's just noise to make us all it is. Because he was totally stripped of all of his power when Jesus went to hell. And now, like he was just saying in this lesson, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that verse doesn't mean because you don't know something, God's going to destroy you. That means that verse is actually talking about things that have actually been shown to you, but you're not walking in the revelation of it. You're resisting out of pride, out of fear, out of religious confusion. There's all kinds of reasons. And because of it, literally destruction happens. Who was it that was teaching, as we've been studying this, that where there's strife in every other evil work, where there's strife, there will be every other evil work. One of them was teaching that.
Yeah, I think it was Andrew in the beginning programs.
Yeah. You ruin your spiritual authority in your home when you get in strife, because you have invited every other evil work to work inside your house. It's okay if we're quiet. Like my dad used to say, if you don't stick your foot out in front of me, I won't step on him. But thank you, Lord, for these teachers teaching us this very plainly, because it is truly helping us to get a revelation of where we are and get us out of the way so that we can truly get something accomplished for God. That's a mighty powerful work in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah, and that's
what I got.
That's good, Rebecca. She says, that's why I refuse to argue. I'll walk out of the room. And amen. That is what you need to do.
What kind of a wimpy position is that? When an argument presents itself, you're just going to walk out of the room.
Yep. It's never anything in this house.
It's Raymond Wimp.
What's that?
It's a Phyllis Raymond Wimp. That's how wimpy it is.
Oh,
yeah, I told you before I was a wimp.
But
yeah,
you know,
I walk out of the room.
And You can't imagine how many Christian people I've heard say, well, you know, I'm just Irish. I like a good argument. No, you're just a sinner. And you're hiding behind your Irishness to be a sinner.
It takes too much energy to argue.
It does.
Well, I'm Irish, but I think I'm as much Indian as I am Irish, because Indians are a little bit smarter.
All right, you ready, love?
Yep. Here we go.
Here we go.
Wow. Why do we...
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Wow. What a powerful testimony, isn't it?
Yep. And why do we take so long to stand up and take our authority? Because we don't know it's available. We didn't. We do now. We are getting
And many of us have been trained that's out of order, and you're taking... Who do you think you are? You're trying to be God and tell God what to do. That's just not the case at all. That's just not the case. We're not trying to tell God what to do. You take the word of God that he's already shown you he's done for you, and you begin to stand on it and get the revelation.
Yeah.
And then when you do, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. We got time for one more, so let's do it.
All right. Anybody else have anything to add? Did you grab a particular understanding or revelation that you want to share? Going once, going twice. Next video. Here we go. Amen. There we go.
All right, so let's be done with studying those now, and let's go to let's just be here with us and talk some word and finish up this way. How's that sound?
All right. Let's see what we're on. We are on 22. Okay.
Now I'm looking at a different screen all of a sudden. Unshare the screen?
Not yet.
All right.
I forgot. There we go.
There we go. There we go.
Hello there. It's good to see you.
It's good to be seen. Like the one man said, it's better to be seen than viewed. That was a good joke, but it was kind of deep. Some people might not get it. But
Sorry.
I want us to go to that verse that he was just preaching in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And, you know, I think I'm just, it's 5 after. Let's just read this. Let's just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 because we're in this chapter a lot. And I'm sure I'd read these verses that you just spoke, but I see it again anew today, and maybe I didn't ever see it. I don't know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a very major set of verses about the believer's spiritual authority. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, it might not be one that everybody does and everybody talks about when they talk about spiritual authority, but
Let's read it, and you'll see why. Get your Bible out, get your pen out, get your notes out. Take some notes, because this is powerful. First, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together with him, with the Lord, gathering to him, we ask you, do not be circumcised in mind, or troubled that he is overcome, either by his father or by mother. And if it from us, that the day of Christ has already come. Just like they do in the day of Israel today, that we are one day, they're sacrificing their teaching, we're already in the millennium. And I'm going to tell you right now that Jesus is reigning on this earth right now. So I was asking for the time, because Jesus, when he's reigning on this earth, that's on the throne of David, and burning us. If your doctrine that you believe match, that is the revelation that everyone believes. Because if you start believing in doctrine, it's not based in this book, you'll go astray from the reality of what God is teaching us. It's impossible for us to be in the millennium, because we're in the millennium, Jesus reigns and sits on the throne of God, is invisible on earth.
Amen.
giving up teachers to yourself. But now you look over the phone, if you're in college, the church, you've got a lot of two phones, it's that person.
No blizzard, just snow.
Of the glory
That's where you get it. You know what he calls you? All the gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You did not literally to be obtaining the glory of Jesus. Therefore, brother, you stand fast. I believe that your mission is a given time. Whether my word or my vessel, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, may our God and Father who has loved us, give us everlasting consolation and good hope by the grace. Comfort your hearts when it is established you in every good word. And establish you in every good work. Set up for the foundation, John 17. I know that we love the shouting of it, following them, right behind me, and the rest of them. But all of that is of no value. If we don't just get right down into this thing and say, wait a minute, I am not only going to share the truth, I am going to come to the knowledge of the truth by revelation. I know somebody just said, yeah, but I'm just not as intelligent as you. This is not intelligent. It's about revelation. It's about you getting in love with God, putting everything off and saying, God, I need you to help me get a revelation of this. And then, yes, sir, he's going to tell you about your attitude. He's going to tell you about your health. He's going to tell you about your affections. He's going to tell you about your insecurities. Not out of anger. That's what I say. You know what this? Well, that's going to be great for me in this next revelation. I have no idea what this is. I don't have a list of ugliness. I'm not in control of your personal life. I'm trying to make you be a leader. You have to choose it at yourself. And then if you do, then I get to stand alongside of you, and you get to stand alongside of me. And we join ourselves together in agreement. And we accomplish a lot of this person. But it's so hard to do that.
So I've got you at the park.
In the name of Jesus the Christ, and by the power of his name, the spirit of fear, to fully, fully, and find and render you powerless and never return to him or any other.
Chapter 2, and all of a sudden, we get to see a brand new picture of God.
2. Let me read a couple of these. Wow. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start from the public ministry without the first one. First, I have this. Speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. But in wisdom, which God ordained before the ages, for our glory, not for his glory, but for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have heard of glory.
Watch that glory, so
story of my life right now is happening right now. All of my life, I have continually looked at trucks and talking and died and I just enjoyed it. Just one of those things. I would have liked my mother, my horse, that must be who I am. They're like, that's me, who I am. Jump out of over me. One day I'll be jumping out of there, but that's just me. And you don't have to do it. It's me. All of my life, I still have my life, so many things. All of my life, I felt like when I had to go to work, this was always punished because I'm a preacher. And just like Paul said, why did I have to work in the rest of them? And I was felt like I was being punished because I didn't have enough pay. I didn't understand that I was too stupid to get off the ground, so because of it, I had to go to work and drive the truck. And I didn't want to drive the truck. I wanted to be successful. But watch this. Why do you see this? I heard Brother Osteen say, for 19 years of his ministry, he did not understand who God was. It's very interesting. And I went to a few spiritual leaders and said, that's what I did. And we just listened to it. I listened to God. But watch this. And this summer, when I had to go back to work, I'm going to have this plan. Like, why am I being punished? I said, you're not being punished. We're just coming up to the fact that this is not my cause. It's even an assignment. See, the first time you think you're being punished by God, and then I'm going to ask you the question, why am I being punished? He's going to look at you and say, you're not being punished. I'm leading you somewhere on purpose to get you to do something on purpose so you can help a lot of people on purpose get this work done. And when the Holy Spirit said that to you, I'm not punishing you. This is the work which I'm helping you. That's what's been accomplished. My goodness, as soon as that bread, as soon as that revelation is hit me, what is it? Not the intellectual. I saw 87 people who watched my preachers and didn't find the word. No. But I went and got along with God and said, why am I being punished? He said, you're not. I'm giving you an assignment. And then we ended up I'm like, I'll be punished with God. I'm going to 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 be punished with God.
Thank you. But we all, that's all of us, with unveiled face,
in love with the Father is not speaking in with him. It's actually singing in with us. But when we speak words of life. When we speak, the glory of God comes through us. Not selfish voice. Not our ability to be heard. Not our insecurities. The glory of God comes up. And that glory strengthens everyone around us. That glory lifts and builds everyone that's around us, confident or stable or solid. And literally, in this verse, Paul says that we will be transformed into the same image that Jesus has, from glory to glory, from grace, from faith to faith. And it will be seen in our lives. Not spoken, you can only speak. But it'll be the same because our nature of God is not religion. It'll be the nature of the glory of God. And the beautiful glory of God will be seen on us. When we walk in a room, it will literally enlighten. The light of God will enlighten the whole room, and people will be like, man, there's something going on in here tonight. This time, I've had people say to me before, you walk in the room and it's like everything gets heavy all of a sudden. That's because the glory of God's not right. I don't go in a room ever, any place. So I go in there and say, I invite them. No, I go in there saying, God, how can I lift the spirits of everybody in here and be a blessing to anyone that stands in front of me? And when your purpose is to bless and strengthen each person, forgive them, not correct them, not force them into some kind of thing with God, but just bring the glory of God on the scene. Now all of a sudden, the glory of the Father's righteousness is taken through Jesus to your family and give you the benefits of self. And then everyone around us is like, look at this guy. I love the story that Andrew Warren and the testimony has of my husband and wife in England, who had two sons, I think it was twins, that were both born with autism. Not to be our son's life. We're not going to live that way. And they spoke the word of God, they got the word of faith, they just the word and seeing that be broken in their lives, their family's lives. And both of those young men today serve on Andrew Womack's staff because he had gone to England one time and they went to one of the services and they got the blood up and it's great to look at their faith and the glory of God is seeing both of them were transformed immediately. The glory of God. God's not going to do his work without you and me. And therefore, he has to have you, and he has to have me here on this earth in order for that glory to come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Well, Brother John Wainer, you asked me if I was going to do this, but I'm not committed. I can't give you a confirmation, but I sure hope you don't say that over there. Are you going to share your testimony with everybody, John?
Yes, John. I'm going to get my passion.
Jesus, find your very place. And Brother John, there you go. Are you still with us?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen a comment in a bit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to work.
This verse is
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I just was saying, yeah, it was. That was awesome. I loved that.
Transformed.
on this good stuff, man. I don't want to get stuck. Let's make this good stuff. We speak the wisdom of God in the ministry. Hidden wisdom. It's God or me.
Thank you.
this way that we live, there is so much information coming at us all the time. And if we're not careful with that level of information, we've got to be certain that we're running down our revelations and we're continually meditating on them. So we've got to move us to the next level that we want us to go to. Because in this last day, there's going to be such an inundation of information right in our face every day.
Did you need me for anything? Did you need me for anything? Oh, okay.
Thank you. because I want to be in the presence of God. Jesus said to the disciples on the last Passover supper, it was ever necessary, with great desire, I have desired to eat this supper with me. And when he said that, talking about, can you imagine in Jesus' life, how amazingly determined, how awesomely wonderful, how, I don't know, all of the words you want to use, Jesus was looking and saying, this is the last Passover that will ever be necessary for anyone to ever receive, because from this moment on, it's going to be in this bread and this cup. And the Passover celebration that God's command them to do was literally put in that piece of bread and that glass of juice for the vine. Reminding us to keep the vine, Lord of Christ, to take out of my body. And Jesus, knowing, I mean, you think about it, he knew what he was going to have to face. And after the joy that was set before him, he called it a joy that he can win back the spiritual authority from doing right walking. And the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank you, Father, that you just did work for us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I don't have my bread with me, so I'm going to have to go get it. The prayer of your salvation. Well, I don't get my bread.
Sure. Did you leave? Anyone with us now or in the future? In the future that has not yet received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we ask you to pray this prayer with us, receiving him into your heart and into your life. And then you will be free to receive communion with us. So let's say this prayer together. Father God, I know I need you in my life every day. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and came into this world and sacrificed himself so that I might be saved. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and ask you to come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Live in me and through me. Now I believe I am saved, born again and a child of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome.
You might be saying, what's going on? happen. Short life.